Well, we would appreciate your prayers this morning. Appreciate being here. And we ask the Lord to meet with us and encourage our hearts and teach us his ways. I wrote on the board, again, Jesus, only this time our refuge. And, you know, I wonder sometimes, do we really realize, I think many of us do, what a refuge that Jesus is for our soul. You know, we know what a refuge is. That's where people have set aside a place where things are safe. It's a place where things are undisturbed. And they have big animal refuges and things like that. But I'm thinking about Proverbs, the 18th chapter and the 10th verse this morning. And I hope we take courage from this. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You know, this morning, there's a lot in that right there. It talks about the name of the Lord. Talks about a strong tower. It talks about the righteous. It talks about running into it. And it talks about being safe. And so this morning, I would that the Lord would help us to realize what God has given to us. You know, this morning, a tower is a place of safety, isn't it? It's a place people have built huge towers over the centuries for a number of reasons. But I think probably most of the time it's for safety from the enemy. And they build these towers. They built them way up high above the walls. Many times if the enemy came, they could throw stones down on their head and all that kind of thing. And that's what they did. And it was a place of protection. It was a place where they could see the enemy. And it's a place where they could perceive what he was doing before he did them damage. And so, you know, I think about the Tower of Babel. Any of you children remember the Tower of Babel? What was it like? The Tower of Babel. How high did it go? You know, I want to read that story for a moment. Genesis 11 and 1. We'll come back to this other scripture from time to time this morning, Lord willing. But in Genesis 11, it says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east. So here they were on a journey, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now, I don't know all the reasons why they built this, but this is what they said. They said, we want to make us a name here, and we want to be, you know, there was something wrong with this tower. It wasn't the Lord's doing. And though they thought it was going to be a real safe situation, all of them could dwell there. You know, I don't know all their reasonings. But in history and different things that you read, maybe it was to worship idols. And it sounds like that had something to do with it. Nimrod, they believe, was the instigator of it. He was not so far down the line from Noah. Wasn't he his grandson, I believe? I didn't look that up this morning, but I believe he was his grandson. Nimrod. And here they are building this tower up to heaven. And some of the history says that Nimrod, and they said, we're going to build it high enough that this flood thing will never happen to us again. It can't ever get us again. Well, you know, I don't know exactly what the reasons were. I wasn't there. Different theories and things and different things that are written tell us that it was something that God wasn't pleased with. And the scriptures tell us that it was something that the Lord, it says, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called, what was the name of this? Babel. And what does Babel mean? Confusion, doesn't it? That's where the languages were all confused. And because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. You know, this morning, that wasn't a safe place for them to be. And the Lord knew that. It wasn't safe for their souls. It wasn't a habitation that they could build and all of them move into. The Lord didn't want that to happen. He said, there won't be anything kept from them. And you get a lot of carnal people together, and what's going to happen? There's going to be a lot of carnal things happen, isn't there? There's going to be a lot dreamed up and a lot thought up that should have been left a long ways behind. If we would use our minds for the good things God gave them to us for, wouldn't this world be a different place? Think how far ahead we could be in every way. With fighting all the things of starvation, the issues of the world, I think what it could be if men put their minds to that instead of all the evil inventions and the billions and billions spent on wars and taking territories and all of those things. Wouldn't that be wonderful this morning? You know what? The Lord wants us to spend our minds on good things too. It's not just the world. It's not just this great mass of people. It's you and it's me. It's each one of us, isn't it? What do we spend our minds on and our time on? You know, I would like to think that the Lord would help us to be productive in our lives. I want nothing more than I want to have enough. And I want to have plenty. I do. I just like that. If the Lord would give it, you know, if the Lord continues to give me that, I'd like to have plenty. But you know what? What I really want is, I want to make sure that my life is not spent in vain. I want to make sure that it has things in it that when I get to the end of the way, I'm going to say, oh, I'm so glad I took that way. And I'm going to hope that the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, this morning, that's to me, that's a lot more successful than building a tower to the sky. And so, you know, that tower really was. You know, they say Nebuchadnezzar went in and he worked on that tower and spent, I don't know what he did with it, but it was there. And so, I don't know what's become of it. They say you can still see part of it or something. You know, it's the scripture here that we started with says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, folks, I want to tell us something. We've got somewhere to go with our problems. I want to tell you, we have somewhere to go for our answers. Did you know that? The name of the Lord stands for who God is, doesn't it? And the Lord tells us that He didn't count it. He counted Himself equal with God, didn't He? And so the name of the Lord, whether we say Jesus, God, He counted Himself equal. All power, it says, is given to me in heaven and in earth. That's the Lord that we serve today. Now, if we really believe that with all of our heart, then folks, we can come to Him with all of our needs, can't we? We can come to Him and He will help us in whatever situation or things that we are in. You know, the scriptures tell us the name of the Lord, the scripture here says, is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You know, I think there's something to that running. I think, folks, I'll tell you, not long ago, I had to run into the Lord. I knew, Lord, I need your help right now for me. This man needs your help. Lord, please have mercy on me. Help me with this situation. Help me with what I'm dealing with here. Do you know, folks, the Lord will be there for us? Do you know we can run in and we can be safe? Children, do you ever play hide and seek? I remember as a child playing hide and seek. And I don't remember the words that we said. I can get them on the tip of my tongue almost. But I remember that we would hit that tree or seat or whatever it was that was the thing we were trying to get to, and we would cry, safe. I'm safe. You can't get me anymore. Do you know that the name of the Lord is like that? We can run into Him. And there's a place there where we're safe. What are we safe from? We're safe from the devil. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus said, He said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He wasn't talking about him falling out of the sky. He's talking about him falling from that exalted place in our hearts. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot in the refuge of the name of Jesus. And I would this morning that we would take it upon ourselves to know, Lord, I know that my help is in you. That's where it's at. It's in you, and it's in the ways that you make that happen. And so, you know, maybe we'll explain that a little more later. But, you know, the Lord has a lot of, he has systems that he has placed in place, hasn't he? Children, he's got parents that he's placed in your life. And you know, those are a place of safety. It's God's safety. It's in his word. And so when we humble ourselves to take the Lord's way and we allow Him to bring us into that place of safety, there's something wonderful, isn't there? Yes, amen. You know, in the Song of Solomon, or this was actually in Psalms, I guess, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I want to ask you if you realize, if you relate to that this morning. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Do you know this morning we can do everything we can, set life up perfect if we will, and everything, and then we ourselves pass away. The Lord, that can happen, can't it? Except the Lord does the whole thing, folks. We labor in vain. We can work with everything we have. You know, the Lord wants to be everything to us. He wants us to know that in His name is all power in heaven and in earth. And in His name is safety. In His name is salvation eternally. Isn't that wonderful this morning? That's the name of the Lord. God hath highly exalted him, this is Philippians 2 and 9, and given him a name which is above every name. You know, there isn't any other name. We could get the president on our side and the Senate and the House and everybody, and we wouldn't have much, would we? Because life could change so easily for us. But I want to tell you, when we anchor ourselves in the name of the Lord, then whatever happens to this body, we're still okay, aren't we? And the Lord's still there for us. Oh, I just want to encourage us this morning. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, Jesus said. And I want to encourage us this morning to run into the name of the Lord. I just want to encourage us that we can. That really, He is really there for us. You know, when our own personality and who we are becomes all distraught and messed up, and maybe we become angry or whatever, I want to tell you something. We need the Lord right then, don't we? We need more than we have. It's in the Lord. Go drop on your knees. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I need you today. And I want to tell you something. Lord, change your mind. He'll take it away. He'll help us to see it His way. And His way is a way of peace. It's a way of goodness this morning. Safety from life's frustrations, from evil men who would lead us astray. That, you know, they can't harm our soul. You know, the devil can't harm our soul if we're in the safety of the Lord this morning. He'll even save us from ourselves. You probably hadn't thought of that one this morning, have we? He'll even save us from ourselves. Because we ourselves, we can dream up so many things. These people dreamed up to build a tower to the sky. They dreamed to build up a tower that was so high. I don't know what all the reasons were. It was probably multiple. But I'm guessing idolatry and all that was already in it again. Why? Why do people do that? Because that's what they do. That's what the carnal man caters to. Unless you turn your heart to the Lord and let Him change you. Let Him change your nature. Let Him change who we are. The Lord wants to do that this morning. I want to read this over here where I quoted Luke 10 and 18. We read some of it last week. But it's hard to read about Jesus without reading about what He did. In 10 and 18 of Luke, and He said unto them, well, starting at 17, and listen to the context of what He said this in. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name. Lord, the devils are subject to us. Your name has power. And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. See, He was talking about spirits here. And He said, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, from the proud, from the ones that know it all in their own mind. You've hid it. And You've revealed them unto babes, those that have been born. You've revealed it unto babes. And Jesus rejoiced in that. He knew that there was going to be something more than what this intellectual mind could attain to, didn't he? And so he was rejoicing that, Lord, you hid this from them. This isn't open to them, but it is to your people, to babes that have been born and that are your little children. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered to Me of My Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. So this morning, there's a place in that tower that the Lord wants to make Himself known to us in special ways. He to whom He will reveal Him. You know the Lord wants to reveal Himself to us? Now this isn't condemnation. This is a plea, Lord. I want to know You better. I want You to reveal Yourself to me in a deeper way. I'd like You to work in my heart in ways that I don't even know I need. I'd like You to guide me in paths that I would never know without You. You know, Jesus said, this is John 10, He said, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Do you know, see, the Lord is looking for us to come into that place with Him. He's looking for us to run from the strife of the world. He's looking for us to run from the ambitions of the world, from the hurts of the world, and run into Him. And He says here, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You talk about safety. As long as we are in the Lord, we are safe, aren't we? Now, does that mean that no man can pluck us, even we ourselves can't? That's preposterous, isn't it? Of course we ourselves can. The most righteous people that, some of the most righteous ones was Adam and Eve. And they just plucked themselves right out. God gave them that choice, and He will give us that choice too. We wouldn't love Him if we didn't. We would just serve Him as an angel or a being that had to be. So this morning, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Goes on down to say, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see this power that's been given to Jesus in heaven and in earth? You read all the promises of the whole Bible. Do you know those are all to the Father in Jesus' name? Now, we come because we have that privilege. We have the privilege to enter into the inner court. Jesus said, if I don't go away, I've got to go away so I can send the Comforter back. I've got to go away. And so the Lord has done that for us, hasn't He? I want to remind us, Psalms 103 and 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. See, we can run into Him, and He's not going to say, why aren't you stronger than that? He's not going to say, what do you need this time? You was here 25 times yesterday. You know, He's not going to do that, is He? It says, like as a father pitieth his children. Now, you want to see when it's working like it's supposed to. Fathers that really love their children. You know, their children can just, they'll just spend time with them, won't they? They'll help them get past their points. They'll help them with their needs. And the scriptures here tell us that just like that, that's the way the Lord pities us. And the 14th verse goes on to say, for He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. Folks, He knows our weaknesses. He knows our weakest link. So does the devil. But the righteous run into Him and are safe. You notice the word righteous? The righteous run into Him and are safe. Folks, I know the Lord has to give us that righteousness, but He wants us to run into Him. We can trust in Him when we are living a righteous life by the Lord's standards, by His grace and His goodness. I've been on jobs in different times when people say, or just around people, and they say, and they're doing all kinds of wicked things. And they say, well, you know, something was happening in their life. You know, all things work together for good. That's not what the scripture says. It says to them that are called according to His purpose. And those that are His children, those things happen for. So we have this great opportunity. And I just want to encourage us today. Do we think all things are going to work together for good in our life? Well, if we're living for God, they will. If we'll let them, they will. All of them. That's what the scripture says. If we're living for the devil, we're going to have a lot of problems that we wouldn't have to have. So the Lord help us today. The Lord knows our needs. He knows our weaknesses. And you know, he said, it's in red letters. Oh, it's in Acts. My strength is made perfect in weakness. We can run into Him. We don't have to feel like we're power man to run into Him or power woman. We run into Him with all of our needs, and we are safe there. I have found so many times I've had to run to the Lord. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I need grace that I don't have enough of here. You're going to have to give it to me. Do you know that He'll give it to you? We can have that. And it's amazing the way He does it. He'll give us a scripture, and all of a sudden things change. Or he'll just help us with the situation. Sometimes we have to fight through things, but I want to tell you something. When we humble ourselves and we run into the Lord, the presence of the Lord, run into that tower, I want to tell you, things can change. And they will. We'll humble ourselves. I want to tell you another little promise that the Lord made to us. This is Isaiah 41 and 10. I love these scriptures. The Lord gave me these scriptures one time personally to me. But it says here, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught." And most of the time this is the devil that's doing that, isn't it? Contending with you, striving against you. Maybe he'll use some of his people sometimes. "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel." You know what? That tells us a little of what the Lord is expecting of us, isn't it? He says, "Israel, don't fear, you worm." Was he speaking down to them? No, he wasn't. He was trying to lift them up. Listen, I know you don't have the strength in yourself. You know, worms amaze me. I've thought of it so many times. They go through the dirt. And I'm thinking, I got to have a good shovel here and work hard. And these little worms, without a hard shell at all, just crawl their way through. How does it happen? You know, I don't understand it all. But I want to tell you something. The Lord said, "Don't fear. You don't have what you need on your own. You don't have any claws on the ends of your hands. You don't even have hands. You don't have any. But don't fear. Don't fear, because," he says, "I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." You know the Lord works like that, doesn't he? So this morning, let's be encouraged that God is for us and not against us. He wants to be to us everything that he was to all the people that we read about in the Bible. Now, some of them, they won great wars, and others got sawed in half, like Isaiah. Put in a log, sawed in half, they say. But you know where Isaiah is today? Did they hurt Isaiah? I don't think so. I think for a few thousand years he's been in heaven rejoicing, or he's been with the Lord. Do you know that Isaiah, those that trusted the Lord found a great refuge in him. Now let's read Psalms 18. And 1 through 6. I'm sorry here. "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." Now, I don't know if your Bible has what mine does in it, but up above there it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." You know, David, the Lord meant something to David, because David's way wasn't always easy. In fact, he had a lot of hard places in his life. But you know, the Lord delivered him, just like he said he would. "I'm going to make you king, David." And so David had to spend a few years preparing to be king. When the Lord got done with allowing some things, you know, David was a well-fit subject to be king, wasn't he? He was a humble man. He knew to trust in God. He knew where his help was when he needed it. David knew that. He says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. You know what that is, don't you? A fortress. It's a strong place. And that's what the Lord is to his people. And my deliverer. My deliverer. The Lord's my deliverer. You think about the children of Israel in Egypt. They had no power. They had no weapons. They had no way to get away from their slave master. And I want to tell you this morning, maybe you don't either. Maybe you're under that slave guy yourself. But I want to tell you something. David said, he's my deliverer. He'll get me out of the hands. You know, Saul had him all cornered up one time, surrounded or something. And what happened? All of a sudden, Saul heard there was war going on. There was trouble. He had to leave. And he had him in, didn't he? You know, at different times, the Lord just did some strange things, didn't he? Because David was the Lord's servant. I want to tell you, there isn't anything going to come on you and me that's going to rattle us to the point of making us lose our soul if we let the Lord be our Lord. He's my rock, he said. Not moving. He's not going anywhere. If I anchor to him, I'll be okay. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. In him will I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. You know, this morning, he understood. He wasn't writing empty, vain words here. David knew a little of what he had gone through. And when he said, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, he knew what he was saying, didn't he? In my distress, he said, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. And so it goes on to tell some very descriptive language. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. And it goes on to talk about the Lord there. And so, and he says on down there, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. David knew about all of this, didn't he? You remember when Samuel prayed for the children of Israel and the Lord thundered? And the thunder and all that went on, probably many lightnings and all of those things, they put the enemy to flight, didn't they? And they did never come again in the days of Samuel. I want to encourage us today, there are some victories the Lord wants us to win in our lives, that they don't come back every week to rob us. The Lord wants to give us some victories. So the Lord bless each one of us today. There's a song, I want to end with maybe one little scripture after that. Jesus is a refuge. When old Satan's roaring, bringing doubts and fears, and the storms of trial thunder in my ears, I turn to my Savior. His voice I can see. I wish somebody would get this. Maybe we can sing it. For I know Jesus is a refuge. And I know Jesus is a shelter. And I know Jesus is a hiding place for me. I hope you know that. There is nothing greater in our life. There's nothing in our life that provides more security than that. You want security in your life? You want security for your future? You want security about eternal things, eternal security? Well, we don't. We believe there's eternal security, don't we? if we stay true to the Lord. Jesus is a hiding place for me. When I am afflicted, constantly in pain. Now, if we don't feel like we can ever go down these roads, then folks, we might be disappointed. But I want to tell you, when we throw our hands open to the Lord with no reserves, the Lord will be everything He said He will be. When I am afflicted, constantly in pain, all my prayers and crying seem to be in vain. Yet I'm not discouraged. Thankful I will be. For I know Jesus is a refuge. And I know Jesus is a shelter. And I know Jesus is a hiding place for me. Christian, put your future in the Savior's hands. He will fight your battles. He will help you stand. Then when you are weary, He will carry you. For you know Jesus is a refuge. And you know Jesus is a shelter. And you know Jesus is a hiding place for you. I want to end with Psalm 9 and 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. We know refuge. A refuge is a place of safety, isn't it? It's a place where the Lord wants to hide us from the wrath that is all about us. It's a place where He wants to hide our souls. And we don't have to fear. We don't have to live in great fear. I know there's a certain human fear. But I want to tell you, there's something that God wants to give us that knows He will take me through. He will carry me. He will work with me. You pray for us that we can always please the Lord. And I want to see His face in peace.